Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. I heard Toyota-thon is on.
It sure is.
Perfect. I'm getting a head start on my list for Santa.
Well, we've got great year-end deals on Camry, Highlander, RAV4, and more.
But what kind of toys do you have?
It's actually Toyota-thon, not Toyota-thon. We have great deals on vehicles, not toys. I'm sorry, sweetie.
Okay, what can I get for $5?
Current offers end November 30th. Toyota-thon ends January 4th. Participating dealers only. Toyota, let's go places.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Weekly Podcast for the week of January the 1st. Happy New Year. Ringing in 2018 in the same way we did most 2017 by bringing in our most available guest, Harsh.
What's going on, man?
This man is available at all hours. At all hours. You and Asad.
It's New Year's Eve and we're really out here doing this podcast right now.
Legit. I messaged you like 2 hours ago. While I was doing like cleaning up around the house, and I'm just like, you know, what are you up to? And you literally said nothing. And I was like, all right, let's do the pod.
Yeah, that sounds about right, man.
That's eventful. Did I hear correctly that you're going to Brampton for New Year's?
Will not confirm nor deny what's happening with my New Year's plans.
I'm just saying, just start your year off right, okay?
That's actually concerning. If I'm starting my year off in Brampton, that's not a good start to 2018.
No, it's going to be a bad year for you. But
it can only get better from there, right? So
yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. So we're here to talk about the Raptors. And, you know, sometimes we don't have a lot of topics, but I feel like there's a lot to say about the Raptors right now. So we'll start here. Okay, so January is going to be a tough month for the Raptors. They're playing a lot of just frankly, a lot more difficult games. It feels like, I don't know, we've just always been talking about the Raptors playing difficult games. They had like an easy December, but November was sort of torturous. January would be the same way. Raptors facing like the Bucks on the first. That's gonna be tough. They're playing the Bucks twice. They're playing Chicago, who was like 10-2 randomly since Mirotić came back. Mirotić leading the league in 3-point percentage. That's good because you know Mirotić doesn't kill the Raptors or anything. And then we're facing the Cavs and the Warriors on a back to back. Then we're facing the Spurs later on. And then, you know, we were seeing a lot of playoff teams like Minnesota, Detroit, Minnesota again, Washington. So it's going to be a tough month is what I'm saying. And I think this is going to be an opportunity for the Raptors to learn a bit about themselves in terms of, all right, you can cruise through the December schedule and they did take care of business for the most part. But it's the tough games that you're really going to learn about yourself. So I got 5 key questions, Harsh, that I'm going to ask you. All right, we're going to start with the first one. Can Kyle Lowry take over when necessary?
Obviously, like, you could add caveats to that, but I would say no, he can't. I think, just looking off, like, I was actually on this, like, in preparation for this podcast, I guess. I was just looking at some numbers. He's shooting his percentage, the percentage of field goals that he's taking from two point range is at a career low of 37%. Compare that to last year where that was 49% and 54% the year before that and 62% the year before that. So there's almost – he's and the eye test kind of backs that up that he almost doesn't take shots outside of three-pointers anymore. Like it's just not part of his game anymore. So – and I don't know. I just feel like his game has sort of deteriorated to a point offensively anyway that – he can't really score outside of getting to the free throw line. So he's either foul baiting or just jacking up threes. Yeah. And so if his shot's not on, like it's like his offense gets really ugly really quickly.
Yeah, that's a real concern. That's a real concern. It's something that like, you know, we have a side chat. I've definitely freaked out about it, but it's like he's kind of just like JJ Redick right now that can dribble the basketball and play team defense. But like the limits of Lowry are like becoming more and more clear this year. And now granted, like, I don't think he's playing as hard this year as he would in previous years because he's trying to pace himself or maybe because he got the big contract, but, that's fine, right? Like, that's fine. It's just sort of like, when necessary, can he have this next gear? And that's the question that I'm just like, quite honestly, I don't really see it. Like, if you look at the games that he's had this year, right? where OKC, that was a tough loss to the Raptors. He was 3-10 in that game, minus 27. The Washington game, he got himself ejected, but he was pretty terrible. He's 0-4 with 2 turnovers and minus 16 in the 11 minutes he played before he got ejected, right? And then you just go down a list, like when they played the Golden State Warriors, he was 5-18. In that loss against Dallas, he was 6-17. When they played the Spurs on the road, it was 3-11. You know, even in the game against Houston, he was 4-12. Like, we won that game, and OG had a great game, but like, you know what I mean? Like, there just hasn't been a lot of times where Lowry has elevated his game, when sort of in these tough moments. And, you know, granted, we've beaten all these other teams, and Lowry's had good to great performances in those games, but it's legitimately concerning. It really is, because like the Kyle Lowry that I'm sort of expecting is like, you remember when the Raptors would play the Warriors? And this man would just like drop 30 plus, 40. Remember when he had that 40 piece against Steph, and then, you know, Steph, whatever. I mean, Steph had like 40 himself and he was the MVP that year, but you know, like that's the kind of like, or like the.
Remember when the game against the Cavs that he won?
Yep, Delhi. I was just going to say that.
Where he hit the game winner?
Yep. Right, like it's these just, big games.
Like he's not like, having.
That's a real concern.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's a big concern. So, I mean, I think the way the Raptors have sort of reshaped their team, it's no longer as dependent on if Lowry's playing well, then Raptors are playing well. Like that used to be the bottom line for like the last 3 years, 4 years, right? This year is sort of more about like the team as a whole can sort of, you know, offset these performances. Shout out to Offset, but like, you know, and also like DeMar has been more important, but. Yeah, man. The Kyle Lowry thing is, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe he has a strong January and he proves us wrong. But so far, we haven't really seen the best out of him. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Look, another number that I just pulled up is his free throw rate is at a career low again. It's at a career low of 28%, and that's compared to 40% for the past 2 years, and it's generally been at least 30%. Like throughout his career, like it's been really high and it's not there anymore. And like you said, like they're not as dependent on his offense, as much as they were in previous years, which is a good sign. And I think it's helpful as he ages, like that you have alternate ways of scoring and, you know, you can cut his minutes without your offense and defense tanking. And those are all good signs. And generally, it depends. Like, do I think that he can reliably elevate his game for the playoffs or whatever? Like, I don't think so, but I also don't think it's the only path to success for the Raptors. Like, I think they can find other ways to get things done. And I think if DeMar plays the way that he's been playing prior to this week, you know, that's more important for them the way that the roster is currently constructed.
Yeah, that's true. But honestly, I just think it's a little bit sad.
Of course, man. Right?
It used to be like Kyle Lowry would like put on the cape and like save the team. Like, remember the game last year, like Utah? Twice.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like there's a lot of those types of performances that happen. And like, you know, again, hopefully he can sort of turn it on. That's sort of my thing, right? Like, if the offense is taking some of the responsibility off his shoulders, that's completely fine with me. But it's sort of just like, is there more when called upon? And I think one of the concerning things is like this year he can't really strive to score, which is what you were saying earlier. Like the 2-point attempts were down, free throw attempts were down. A lot of that just points to the fact that, you know, Lowry is not really using the mid-range game much, which is fine. But when he gets the basket, he's not finishing well. Like we saw him get blocked by Raymond Felton. I legitimately had nightmares about that. He got blocked by his body double.
Oh, man.
From 2015.
Okay. Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough to watch him play when he's... Because when we talk about this all the time, like, he's not all that skilled, right? Like, he doesn't have a killer handle. He doesn't have, like, a go-to move in the paint or in the mid-range, like, except for that weird, like, spin where he spins against his body and does a turnaround fadeaway, like that one.
Shot hit over Delhi.
Yep, that one. So besides that, he doesn't really have like go-to moves or anything. So he kind of just resorts to foul baiting and just jacking up shots, as I spoke about earlier, and that's just, that gets ugly really quickly if he's not on his game.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. Like, Lowry has to elevate his game to sort of elevate the ceiling of the team, right? Because, or even if not, in terms of not elevating, like, if you're struggling and the rest of your team is not playing well, it's up to your stars to determine what the floor is for your team.
Right.
And, like, if he can't consistently give you, like, a floor-level production, like, I feel like DeMar can at least give you floor, although that OKC game was rough. But, you know what I mean? Like, the stars have to give you that floor. And I don't know. On either end, really, Lowry hasn't really given it. So hopefully he has a strong month. And hopefully he proves us wrong. But it's fine if it's like, it's a big difference between he can't do it anymore or he just doesn't do it all the time. So
that's yeah, I mean, gonna learn. The other thing is that he did have a stretch of like 10 games where he was back to normal Kyle Lowry almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of fell off again for the past 2-3 weeks. So
yeah.
It's weird. Like, his percentages were back up where you'd want them to be, and then he's just had a rough stretch for the last, I don't know, 10 games or so. So, I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where he's just streaky, and he has been streaky all throughout his career.
Right.
But even then, like, despite all that, like, sure, like, if his three-point shot starts falling again, like, his percentages will look better, but it's just the method to how he's scoring is a little bit concerning, like not getting to the free throw line as much, not taking two-pointers, and he's actually been like a bad mid-range shooter this year, which is unlike him as well. So I don't know. There are things to be concerned about with Lowry, but despite all that, he's still been pretty good.
Oh, he's been an overwhelming positive. That's
yeah. Yeah, like he's been pretty good, man. Despite all of this. So it just speaks to like the different ways he makes an impact on the court, like without just scoring being the only way.
True. Okay, next question. What will DeMar DeRozan contribute when his scoring is not necessarily there? You know what I mean? Like in games like again, going back to the OKC game, right? Like there are games where the defense, like, DeMar can't really solve his defender, which is rare, but it happens sometimes. When that happens, like, what else does DeMar do? Because, like, it's okay if, like, DeMar doesn't have it sometimes, because, like, the rest of the team can beat up on these, like, crappier teams. But against the top-level competition, if DeMar doesn't, it's like the Lowry thing, right? Like, DeMar has to establish the floor for what the Raptors do. So in these tough games, if the shot is not going, like in the OKC game, can he sort of do the Lowry thing, which is, like, you know what? Fine. I can't score, but I can play great team defense. I can pass the ball. I can maybe space the floor. Not really. But, like, what else will DeMar do?
Yeah, respect his shot, man.
I mean, the shot is coming up. It's coming up. I mean, he's taking it more confidently than I've ever seen him take it. So,
yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like we've talked about this offline where when his offense isn't going, he just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, his defense gets worse when his offense gets worse, which is really concerning.
Like I feel like he just starts fouling. He starts gambling a lot.
It's frustration.
Yeah, it's so annoying to watch, but, I guess if there's something that he could contribute positively, it's the whole passing thing that he's been doing this year,
mm-hmm.
which is new for him.
And he's done a good job of it.
He's been pretty good. Again, career high in assist rate. Like, he's been more mindful about being a facilitator, and I think that's kind of what Dwayne Casey was talking about prior to the season when he talked about DeMar being more of a point guard. Like, he didn't mean point guard in terms of, like, the nominal one or whatever. He meant it more in terms of mentality and getting other players involved and things like that. So he's really taken to that. His offensive game has been, like, on a whole new level this year. Like, it's been really, really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, I'm more optimistic about what he can contribute. But I think at the end of the day, what you still need from him is that scoring. Like, he's the guy, he's your go-to guy who can sort of thrive despite matchups, despite, you know, the caliber of defense that they're facing. Like, he's supposed to be the game breaker that you have. So, it's always going to be tough for the Raptors if he just, you know, is taking the number of shots that he takes and not not being efficient and not being effective with them.
Yeah, listen, the weird thing with DeMar this year is just, like, his importance and Lowry's importance have flipped.
Right? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This year DeMar has only scored less than 20 points 8 times. The Raptors are 2-6 in that stretch. And the two wins were against Atlanta and Chicago. So, like, those don't even necessarily count as wins. Like, they're kind of meaningless games. Like, that was the first game of the season in Chicago when, like, Mirotić had just, you know, freshly, or Portis had just freshly punched out Mirotić. So the two of them weren't even playing. And yeah, like, they're pretty much 0-6 in, like, important games or, like, meaningful games when DeMar doesn't score over 20. And so that's what you're saying, man. Like, the scoring has to be there. For the, you know, from DeMar. Like, DeMar is just that important to the team right now. And, you know, like, one thing, I guess one thing that we could hope to see from DeMar is, like, can he score against these elite defenses? Because he's, you know, he's had a lot of good games against these teams. Like, when we put the Spurs, for example, you know, that was a 4-point loss. It was a close loss. But DeMar shot 10 of 20 from the field, hit 2 threes, and scored 28 points. Like, I'll take that. It's a great game against the Spurs. The Spurs are a great defense. You know, even when we lost to Washington and stuff, like 26 points, that's not bad. 8 of 21, the shooting's not great, but he still got to the free throw line like 12 times, right? Like, with scores, it's just sort of like, can you get to this number? Can you give us 30? Right? It's not even necessarily about the efficiency as much. Like, okay, if you're taking so many shots, you're hurting the team, but like, you know, against the Warriors, that, again, a very tough defense, right? Best in the league, 24 points, 9 of 18 shooting. So, you know, hopefully we see that trend continue because like, DeMar, you know, is going to set the ceiling for the Raptors. And at least so far, he's done a good job of it. He really has done a good job of it against some elite competition. But hopefully he can just, like, if he can do that while also elevating the floor, because, like, that OKC game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's just, like even the Mavs game, like, he just stops playing defense, too, and it's just, like, come on. You got to just give us something. If you're not scoring, then, like, all right, that's fine. It's a rare outing, but at least play defense.
Maybe that's like a regular season thing. I don't know. Like maybe it's just
true.
Like end of December, like he's not interested or whatever. I don't know. That's not really an excuse, but maybe that's what it is. Who knows?
Yeah. No, but I mean overall DeMar has been great. Like even against Houston, 27 points, 7 of 15 shooting. Got to the free throw line 16 times. You know, like
oh,
DeMar
yeah.
on the year has been great.
He's been amazing this
he's
year, man. Like
perfect, yeah.
He's shooting better than ever, like, from the field and from three-point range. He's taking better shots, too. Like, I think he's taking less long twos than he has at any point in his career, I'm pretty sure. Like, the ones between, like, 16 feet and three-point range. Mm-hmm. So.
And he's almost hitting 50% of those, so.
Yeah,
not bad. If you can hit 50% on a shot, that's a good shot.
Yeah, you're getting good return on that shot. So, I mean, he's been pretty acceptable this year in terms of shot selection and he just seems so much more in control of his game. Like he just knows how to get to his spots more than ever. He seems harder to defend than ever. Mm-hmm. And he's willingly taking the three pointer. I remember like last year, what would piss me off the most when DeRozan had those chances is, you know, they'd cycle it around the perimeter and he'd have a wide open shot. And because he didn't have any confidence to shoot it, he'd like drive into the paint.
Yo, he would drive into the defender. That's the thing, right? The defender would like not even try to close out. And DeMar's like, well, I'll close out for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, getting closer to you.
So like they did all the work to bend a defense and then DeRozan would drive into the teeth of where everybody is. So it's like now he's kind of just taking that shot. And I think he's good enough. Like, he doesn't need to shoot, like, 40% from three. He just needs to be acceptable, like, 33, 34, hit the corner three when he has it. Like, that's about all they need from him, man. Just be a threat.
Yeah, and he's doing that. He's doing that of late.
Of course, yeah.
Which is, it's really promising. Like, obviously he's going to have to do it for a longer period for, like, people to trust him and stuff. But, I mean, look, as much as you can buy into six game samples, he's shooting 52% on 5 threes a game in the last six games. That's insane. But yeah, I mean, overall, like if he can just add that weapon just even a little bit, it does help a long way. And again, that helps to, you know, go to that, and going back to that floor thing, like if DeMar can't score, can he at least still stretch the floor a little bit? And, you know, well, for the most part, it's a no, but if he hits more threes, maybe he does. Maybe there's a second thought in defender's mind. All right, the next question I have is, who's that third guy for the Raptors? So, look, most games, DeMar's going to be there, Kyle's going to be there a little bit, and then, you know, you're going to get enough hustle points from the team, right? Unless it's like one of those scenarios where you're coming home from a long road trip, you, or like you're in the altitude, or like it's a Wednesday, or whatever, right? Like, generally speaking, the Raptors will score like 30 points just off hustle. Like offensive rebounds, transition, and stuff like that. Their defense is, you know, good at causing turnovers and scoring off turnovers. I think they're first in the league in that. At least in points per turnover. I don't know, man. But I think OKC might be number one. That's why I'm hesitating on that. But definitely the Raptors are very good at sort of getting, you know, hustle points, right? But for the most part, when the Raptors have a third guy that's going for them, that's what really pushes the offense from being good to like, all right, we can win tonight with just the offense alone. And so the three guys I'm looking at there are Jonas, Ibaka, and CJ Miles.
Yeah, I think it's probably Ibaka.
Okay.
Just by virtue of he's the guy that KC trusts in all situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's the guy that will play all the crunch time minutes. He'll play the five. He'll play the four. He's definitely the guy that Casey trusts to be the defensive anchor, on the defensive end, which means that he can stay on the court more than guys like CJ Miles and Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
And, just in terms of offensively too, like, I feel like they're asking different things of him than he's typically used to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dwayne Casey's talked about that on the low post. He's like, we're making him, you know, be the trailer quarterback in the offense, like that. And that's true.
Yeah, and he's been pretty damn good this year, man. Like, I think he's shooting like 50-40 and like whatever his typical 70-something, 80-something percent from the free throw line.
I mean, look, we'll see what happens going forward if he can recover from this mysterious incident with a staffer. Which, I mean, I have no idea what happened, but come on, it was Jamal McGlure, right?
It seems to be okay now. Like, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
I also think like he had a lot of stretches this over the past month where he had enough of a rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's so much better on like a day's rest and 2 days rest than he is on back-to-backs. Like that OKC game was pathetic.
That was honestly, he was getting cooked by Melo and that was upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I remembered that it's a back-to-back, so then I was fine with it.
Mm.
But yeah, so if he has rest, like he's a really impactful player and he spaces the floor. He does some things like in the paint as well now. Like he has his weird go-to post-up moves and stuff. He's done those awkward drives against closeouts.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sweeping hook. Like he has some stuff in his arsenal. Like you wouldn't want to trust it like, more than you have to. Like, but as a third option, he's been all right. He's been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially in the month of December. Of course, that was against lower competition, but, you know, nevertheless, like, this is, again, one of those things, like, we'll see in January if, like, against elite defenses where, you know, they're going to be clamping down on Larry and DeRozan. What's Ibaka doing with that in terms of that extra space? Because that third guy has just been consistently not there for the Raptors. You know, sometimes Jonas does it, and on those games where Jonas is, like, scoring well, like, it helps his defense. Like, Jonas is a lot like DeMar. If his offense is bad, his defense is also bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, sometimes Jonas is there, right, in terms of what the scoring, like, occasionally he's just, like, a monster on the defensive glass, or on the offensive glass. He gets a lot of putbacks, and, you know, pick and roll, he's in the right spots, like that. And then also, you know, CJ Miles. Like, CJ Miles has had a lot of great games for the Raptors where he gets hot and the Raptors win, right? Like that Houston game, he hit six threes. That's a game the Raptors won. I guess early in the season against Chicago, the Pelicans game, he hit five threes. That was on the road. The Raptors won that game. So, you know, like CJ is a guy that has been inconsistent and sort of has been in and out of the lineup with, you know, this injury and like, you know, paternity and also other things, but, when CJ gets going too, that really helps the team, but I don't think he's like reliable enough to be a third guy by any means, but he's just kind of like a wild card. If him and Norman Powell are kind of like wild cards. Well, I mean, this year Norman Powell has just been wildly bad, but you know, when CJ gets it going too, like that's nice. But yeah, I agree with you. It's got to be Ibaka. It's got to be that third guy consistently. All right, two more questions about January and this tough stretch. Can the bench score? So we know the bench can defend, right? Like all these are young guys. They play well together. They communicate well. They're not great on the defensive glass, but for the most part, they're so long and athletic, and they're so gritty, and they play so well together. They're so willing to help each other that the you know product is undeniable. They're a great defensive unit, but the issue is can they score? And so, Harsh, let me ask you: like, what's the determining factor for can the bench score? And do you really have confidence in the bench scoring?
So I think I don't know if I haven't looked at the numbers for this, but it seems to me like what makes the bench unit super effective is when they either generate turnovers or grab some rebounds and start running in transition. That's where guys like Siakam and even Norm Powell are the most effective. Mm-hmm. So I think that is one of the factors that can help them offensively is to get those transition opportunities or semi-transition where the defense is still recovering. In the half court, I think what can help them, I think, again, they had a bit of a rough stretch lately because DeLon Wright was out. Mm-hmm. And there was just a little too much Fred VanVleet for me. Like, Fred VanVleet is nice, and he's it's a surprise that he's been this effective, but I think he's much better playing off DeLon Wright. Having DeLon Wright as a primary ball handler, having Fred VanVleet as a spot-up threat who can end another ball handler if you need it. So I think having DeLon Wright really helps them because mm-hmm. I don't think Norm is ready to be the secondary creator. Like he just drives into the teeth of the defense. And for some reason, I think maybe the scouting is maybe the scouting book is out on him that his drives are easy to pickpocket.
Yeah. He's getting stripped so much because all he does is tuck it under his left hand.
Yep. And everyone knows it's coming. Yeah. Like every single person knows what's coming when he, you know, gets the ball and like sets up at like beyond the 3-point line and asks for a screen. Like, you know exactly what's coming. Like, so teams started sitting on that. And I think that contributed a little bit to their failures and that required a little bit too much of Fred VanVleet. Mm-hmm. Like he was overextended. So I think having DeLon back, having a guy with, you know, an actual handle that can give him some space, some length, he's been super effective in terms of finishing at the rim. So having a guy like that is really helpful. And obviously his defensive instincts are really good as well. So I just think like having DeLon back should fix a lot of the defense, the bench's issues.
Yeah, I agree. DeLon is, he's very underrated.
Yo, he's nice, man.
He's underused, man. Like there's some games where I'm just like, look, Dwayne, I know you love Fred VanVleet because he, you know, helps in the paint against bigger guys. Like, that's cool. It really is. And, like, Fred is nice. It's a great surprise. Like, you know, like, I wrote about him earlier this year. Like, you know, I'm really impressed with what he's done. But at the same time, DeLon is definitively better. Like, it's not that close. And while DeLon doesn't really shoot the three that great, DeLon does literally everything better.
Yeah.
Like, he rebounds. He's way better at rebounding. He's way better at switching. Like, DeLon can switch at least three positions. He's just as good as Fred in terms of stealing the ball. Like, I feel like on-ball defense, like, DeLon is better than Fred. Now, both of them are pretty good. But, you know, DeLon's really good in that aspect. And so, you know, there are games where I'm just like, where is DeLon? But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, I guess we'll have to see. Like, the Raptors need a prolonged stretch where all their guys are healthy so that we can see more CJ Miles with the bench. Because I still feel like that's still their best look, right? But the thing is, if you put CJ Miles as our number one option, then, like, what does Norm do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of just like, you can sort of flip it how you want, but eventually you're gonna ask yourself, like, where are we going to put Norm? Because, like, when he's playing like this right now, it's not helping the team. And so that's going to be a tough question. And you don't want to lose Norm at all. And Dwayne Casey's a guy that's always going to ride for his players. And Norm has deserved, more than deserved, a chance to run with the spot. But Yeah, that's gonna be a tricky question in terms of what happens with the bench. But it, honestly, if they can find just a little bit of consistent scoring off that bench, then that's, you know, that's gonna help the team a ton because they're always gonna be great defensively. I have the utmost confidence in the Raptors bench in terms of, you know, their ability to turn a game around and stuff. But they gotta find a guy who's gonna be that third, who's gonna be the main guy off the bench that's gonna score. And, you know, maybe Bebe's a little bit of that option because I feel like, look, as much as like, you know, like as much as Poeltl is a great pick and roll player and he's like, he's great for the bench, he's probably our best bench player. The thing is, like, Bebe comes in the game and he brings a different dimension. Like, you can actually throw lobs to him. Like, I'm thinking of that Hawks game where Norm was struggling all game, but in the fourth quarter, Bebe came in because, you know, Jonas was dealing with a knee thing. And Bebe was finishing all these lobs because all of a sudden Norm, after he drove into the paint, he could actually pass to somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think it's another one of those things where it's probably a good problem to have that they have so many options mm-hmm. and they go legit 12, 13 deep. But it's weird because now that they're getting...
We don't need Bebe all the time. I'm just saying like selective usage of Bebe.
Yeah, I get you. It's weird because I feel like they're kind of struggling with that same thing with CJ Miles and Norm. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I think Norm can be more effective than he has been just by virtue of being the third option instead of the second option and being asked to do less.
Yeah.
But that also means that, okay, what do you do with CJ Miles now? Like, how do you get CJ Miles into the rotation? And like, he brings something completely different that nobody else can, like with his 3-point shooting, like with the fact that he can hit threes with like minimal space. Nobody else can do that. So it's like, how do you manage minutes between those three guys? Maybe you cut Fred VanVleet's minutes. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but, I think there's enough. There should be enough options there mm-hmm. that the Raptors bench should be able to stay afloat offensively. Like they have enough guys there that they can try different looks.
True. Okay. And then the last thing, for the Raptors is when the offense isn't scoring the way it sort of typically does, like there's a very distinct difference between when like the Raptors are playing good offense, like they almost never lose when they play good offense. Like the flow has been beautiful this year. They get open shots and, you know, when they hit their threes, especially, it's pretty much a wrap. But when the offense gets stuck and it's gummy and it's happened a couple times, like I thought, you know, they had some sputtering stretches in the Hawks game. The Dallas game was obviously really bad. And then the OKC game was really tough too. You know,
Clippers,
Suns, you know, like can the Raptors win games with their defense? And that's something that, you know, the defense was there early in the year. When you look at results like, you know, that San Antonio game, like holding San Antonio to 101 points at home was good. That's a good result, and that's what helped them win that game. Same thing with, you know, beating Portland, 85 points. That was a game where they held Portland to one basket in the second quarter, right? The defense has been there enough in games. Like, or even that Celtics game, you know, we lost, but we helped the Celtics to 95 points. Now, granted, they didn't have Kyrie, but, you know, the defense has been there sometimes. And I'm curious in terms of can the Raptors defense sort of be consistently there? And I feel like a big part of that is, you know, what type of energy, what type of activity can Ibaka bring?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Raptors defense has been mostly fine. Like, I think they've been all right this year. They're again, they're top 10 in defensive rating.
Yeah. They're six according to, Basketball Reference.
Right. So, again, I think typically there's been stretches where it feels like they have high scoring games or whatever, but again, the Raptors play at a faster pace than they have in the past year, so maybe, you know, points per game is not the best metric to look at. I think defensively they're all right though, man. Like I don't think they've lost games because their defense failed them. Like I feel like there's been games where they lose just because their offense has been dog shit. Like maybe the OKC game is one game where I thought like their defensive effort was super disappointing. But even that Dallas game, I thought they were defensively they were fine for the most part.
They held Dallas to without a basket for 8 whole minutes in the fourth quarter. The Raptors just could not score.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think like more than like they've some of the games that they've lost have been because you know they've been like defensive showdowns that they kind of you know, lost a close game in. But I don't think they lost those games because of their defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, the Raptors have, 24 wins on the season? 23 of those games, the Raptors have scored 100 or more points. And the one game they didn't score 100 points was 99. whereas, yeah, if you look at their 10 losses, right, the Raptors have scored less than 100 in 5 of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the defense is, you know, not necessarily the defining factor, but, I mean, still, I think the more interesting thing with their defense is, like, how does their defense sort of, like, react to these sort of specific types of stresses? Like, you know, against a generic team, like, I think the Raptors are completely fine in terms of defending a team, right? But, you know, a team like Cleveland presents a very unique challenge, like big wings, right? And I guess this goes back to OG Anunoby, who we haven't really talked much about because he's been so good. Like, in his role, OG has been amazing. But, you know, we're about to see some real, really, really tough tests in terms of, you know, LeBron coming to town, KD coming to town, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, Kawhi's been iffy. I mean, he looked terrible against the Pistons the other night. But, you know, Giannis coming to town. And so there's going to be a lot of these tough matchups, these wings that, you know, generally speaking, those are the guys that hurt the Raptors. And I'm curious to see, like, is the combination of, like, OG with someone like Ibaka backing them up, and maybe Pascal on the floor as well. That's probably our best defensive trio in the front court, OG, Pascal, and Ibaka, or maybe even Poeltl, but probably Ibaka in terms of ceiling. Like, Ibaka's ceiling defensively is higher than Poeltl's because Ibaka blocks shots. But, yeah, like, can those three form a specific type of defense against these big wings that have sort of, you know, plundered the Raptors in recent years?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that concerns me is not just that, but also the fact that the Raptors don't really have a unit that's perfect defensively in terms of their bigs. Like, I find that they have units where they can, you know, get stops and prevent baskets,
but they don't rebound. Then,
exactly. But then the rebounding drops off a cliff. Like, that Dallas game was, there were stretches there where they got stops, but they just kept giving up offensive rebounds. It's one of those things where a lot of their good defenders aren't great rebounders, and their best rebounder is Jonas, who isn't a good defender. So, I don't know. It's something that they have to grapple with. I don't think it's a huge deal though. Like, I think it's overall, they're still a good defensive unit.
Yeah, I agree. I think part of the rebounding woes is, like, well, one, we play a lot of Ibaka at center, and that's just not going to be a great defensive rebounding situation. But I think also the Raptors guards give up, I mean, this is a habitual thing, but the Raptors guards give up a little bit too much penetration.
Right.
And that causes the defense to scramble. And the Raptors are very good at scrambling. Like, that's generally speaking, when everyone helps everyone else, I mean, this applies for every defense, but especially for the Raptors based on the way they play. When everyone helps everyone else, the defense is at its best in terms of getting stops, but then getting rebounds in that situation is difficult because people are out of position and they have mismatches of boxing out. Sometimes they don't box out. Like, if you look at the defensive four factors, right, like, in terms of holding their opponent to a low effective field goal percentage, Raptors are fifth. That's really good. Turnover percentage, the Raptors are forcing the seventh most turnovers, like, percentage-wise. And that's great, too. But then you look at defensive rebounding percentage, they're 21st. And then fouls. Like, the thing is, the Raptors do give up a lot of fouls. I think that's one of the things that the Raptors could work, you know, do better on. Again, that goes to, you know, allowing penetration and stuff, but the Raptors are 25th there. So if they can shore up their rebounding against some of these teams, it would really help, like, you know, like the Spurs game, right? Like, the Raptors lost that game in part because they gave up like 100 offensive rebounds.
Oh, God.
Like, DeJounte Murray was just getting up in there and, like, doing things, and LaMarcus was like, oh, man. Remember when LaMarcus, like, dunked on Ibaka?
Oh, man.
That was rough. Ibaka's got dunked on a couple times this year. Yeah. James Cantor dunked on him. That's Dwight Howard got him. Oh, man. Twice, I think, Dwight Howard got him.
Remember when Corey Joseph dunked on him?
Like, yo, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that year the Spurs were going nuts, man. Like, they were doing some dumb things in that playoff series. Like, what was Manu Ginobili doing dunking on Chris Bosh with a bald spot? Chris Bosh is a great defender. And Manu Ginobili's like, I'm 35 years old. I look like Ronald Liu. I'm going to dunk on you.
Dude, Corey Joseph dunked on Ibaka. That's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, rebound is going to be a big issue. Like, the Cavs, for example. Like, the Cavs, if they want to, they can attack the offensive glass, and they're deadly because they're so big. And also, Kevin Love is a great offensive rebounder. Same thing with the Spurs. The Timberwolves, that's going to be tough. You know, like, Towns, a huge load to handle on the glass. And they're just going to have some tough games. So these are things that we're hoping to learn in the course of January. And maybe, Harsh, I'll get you back in February, and we can sort of revisit some of these things. But a lot of tough tests ahead. Before we go to the break, let's just quickly go through next week's games. Raptors start on Monday at home against the Bucks. Bucks are up and down, but for the most part, a very physically terrifying team. I mean, we know sort of all about the Bucks. We've seen them in the playoffs and stuff. They've won 4 of the last 6, but if you extend that to 9, they've lost 5 of those 9. So whatever arbitrary endpoint you want to use, I don't know. The Bucks are a good team. I'm scared of the Bucks. What do you think?
Yeah, they have enough talent to scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And Giannis has taken his game to another level.
Yeah, it's
they have Eric Bledsoe now, so they have another guy to worry about. Can't just rely on Dellavedova being shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, the Bucks will be a tough matchup, man. They're like uniquely equipped to harass the Raptors.
Yeah, that's a tough game. I'm gonna call that a win, but based on the way the Raptors played this week, they're gonna have to snap out of that malaise, because the way they played against the Hawks, although they won by 13, not good enough to beat the Bucks. We would have lost that game if we played like that against the Hawks. The way we played against the Hawks against the Bucks, we would lose by like, you know, 12 easily.
Yeah, I think we gotta hope that the Bucks go out in Toronto for New Year's Eve.
That's true. They were at a concert.
Yeah, with Blake Murphy.
Actually?
I think so, yeah.
They were at the same concert?
No, they were at the WWE event or something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Damn, you see, respect Blake, alright? This is how hard he works. You think he was there for wrestling? No. All right, he's been pretending he's a wrestling fan for like his entire existence on Twitter, just so that he can go scout the Bucks.
Yeah,
count how many beers that John had.
Like, Giannis, go out, yeah. Have fun tonight, man.
Seriously,
please.
Giannis, please come to my house party, Giannis. There's gonna be like at least 8 Jamaican or at least 8 Nigerians here. So yeah. Like, just come.
Hang out.
Come hang out. We'll have jollof rice. Like, just come, Giannis. Please. Please. Let me get you drunk, Giannis. yeah, he's terrified. Okay, next game the Raptors play is on the road against the Bulls. God damn. I mean, look, it's not like the Bulls aren't that great necessarily, but they've been playing great of late. They are 8-10. They're 10-2 in their last 12 games since Mirotić came back.
Are they in a playoff spot now?
They're close. They're very close. They're still 13-22 because they started the year 3-20.
Oh my God.
It's going to be hard to climb out of that, but they're definitely ruining their tank job. But along the way, all right, they have beaten the Bucks, beaten the Knicks, beaten the Pacers. Now, granted, the Knicks on the road are a crap team. The Knicks are at home, are a great team. The Pacers were without Oladipo, so, you know, whatever. They beat the Sixers. They beat the Bucks again. They beat the Bucks twice? Really? The Bucks? You lost to the Bulls twice? What are you, the Raptors? they beat the Celtics. Like, they humbled the Celtics. Wow, they beat them by 23 points. Some of those wins are whatever, but some of those wins are also quite nice. The Bulls are a team that knows exactly how to play the Raptors, and that's a concern for me. I'm calling that an L.
I'll call that a win, but it'll be a close game because they typically play us pretty tough even when they're garbage.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, and then the last game of the week, Raptors go on the road to Milwaukee to face those Bucks. It's tough to play the Bucks on the road because it sounds like a rally in there. they're the OKC of the East in terms of like hostility and going there and, you know, Spencer Hawes, Is he on the team still?
I don't know, man.
They gotta get rid of Spencer Hawes, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'll call that an L.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll say that's an L too.
You're gonna go with a 1-2 week. Wow. Why do you hate the Raptors, bro?
Bro, all we've done is hate on the Raptors this game. All right. I mean, this entire podcast, we like demolished Kyle. Like we buried him.
Yeah. By the way, the Raptors are like 24-10 or some shit.
They're great. Yeah. They're doing great. Honestly, they are. That OKC game just had me so shook, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, of course they can go 2-1. They can go 3-0. Really, if they go 3-0, I'll be very impressed. It's not an easy schedule, but I don't know. The Bucks are scary, man.
They'll go 1-1 against the Bucks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm saying 1-2. You're saying 2-1.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the other end. We'll take your Twitter questions.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you. Get Goldfinger today.
Welcome back to the second half of the podcast. Harsh is still here. Harsh is here to take your Twitter questions. So, hit us up at Raptors Republic when you want to ask Harsh a question. Harsh is technically a Raptors HQ guy, but, you know, like, come on. Look at the scoreboard at this point, man.
Yeah.
Look at the scoreboard.
I just go where I'm invited, bro.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Damn.
That's not shade. I'm just saying, man.
Wow. It's a rap like roti. All right. At VTech Poppy. So he just flipped it.
No, that's his at now?
Yeah, he's at VTech Poppy now.
Oh, wow, he's embracing it.
Yeah, he's not Lilmo_23 or whatever.
Nice. He's VTech Poppy full time. He's VTech Poppy.
Yeah. Nice. I think he switched it just so that he could be, like, have his actual name be his name. Because he was, like, trying out new stuff for the longest time. But, you know, he's a blood for life, so it is what it is. What was the Raptors dunk of the year? I think this is a pretty easy question. When DeMar dunked on the Bucks to eliminate the Bucks, all right? Everyone wants to slander DeMar about the playoffs. DeMar had 32 mother effing points in that game to close out the Bucks. In the heart of that rally, DeMar dunking on, driving around going around Thonmaker, going past Jason Terry's retired ass, and then dunking over Giannis. And then mean mugging, and then the Raptors winning that game and winning that series in very painful fashion, but winning that series, that's the best dunk.
Yeah, I'll go with the dunk in Hawaii that Norm did on Jonas that nobody's seen.
No, we saw that. No, there's an actual video of that.
Is there a video of it?
Yeah, it's impressive. Norm just like takes the elevator to the third floor, and Jonas has like 6 inches of hops. So,
why did he do that to Jonas, man?
Honestly, Norm was just trying to build up the hype, and then he delivered on none of it.
Yeah, Jonas put some East European curse on him.
Yeah, it wasn't East European. It was the GoDaddy curse. He just switched it. He flipped it. He's like, Jonas is like, no, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be in a comb over. Yeah, why did he have a comb over in that commercial?
Jonas has had some weird haircuts.
Definitely. He should just stay with the buzz cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most menacing.
Exactly. Don't worry about how you look, you know, appearance-wise. Just make sure you look intimidating.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, next one from my guy Shankar. Best and worst moments as a Raptor fan in 2017. He votes for the Bulls win in March as the top one, which is a great game. OT, Fred VanVleet had a big game. PJ Tucker had a big game. Of course, DeMar DeRozan had a big game. Surge fought Robin Lopez and got the only punch in, all right? Robin Lopez missed. He swung first, and Ibaka clipped him. All right, it wasn't a great fight, but, you know, only a one-game suspension. Wow, that one surprised me. And then Shankar says the worst game was probably game three at home against the Cavs and realizing we really had no chance. So,
best one for me is the Celtics game.
Yes, I was going to say, I agree.
Yeah, the one where PJ Tucker locked up Isaiah Thomas.
That game was, Isaiah drove into the paint. And, like, that last year, Isaiah was so good at, like, anytime he got in the paint, he would jump at somebody and, like, he would get free throws.
Yeah.
Like, PJ just ripped that shit from him. Like, it was like taking, you know, literally taking candy from a baby.
And that's like his, that was his first game and he hadn't slept or some shit, right?
Yeah, he hadn't slept in like, since he got the trade. Like, he found out about the trade while he was in the shower. Devin Booker like ran in and he was like, PJ, you're free! And PJ's like, dog, let me just shower, please. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter where I go. I don't care if I'm cut. I need to finish the shower first.
Yeah, that game was insane.
That was a great game. PJ, like, first game right out the bat, calling out DeMar, saying we got to play better defense. But also, DeMar had his career high in that game, previous career high of 43 that he broke this year against the Sixers.
Oh, man, I miss PJ.
Yeah, I miss PJ, too. Ibaka had a good game, too.
Every time I see his Geo dude looking ass on the Rockets, I get sad. I get sad.
Every time he comes across water, it's four times effective.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I agree. That's the best moment. And also beating the Celtics is just so sweet, man. The Celtics are number one in the league and what and in the East and stuff like that. They're all just all this hype and then bam. Oh, Damari Carroll. That might have been Damari Carroll's best moment as a Raptor. When he knocked Isaiah Thomas to the ground and Isaiah Thomas came back with the finger guns.
No, oh, yeah, the water pistol. With the water pistol.
Yeah, wow. Oh, man. He just looked like a little
How times change, man. We were all about Damari Carroll back then.
That was Damari's best moment.
Yep, that was.
By far. That was Damari's best moment of 2017.
Oh, man.
And then the worst moment, I would say, like, the Cavs games, like, whatever. Like, they were bad, but game three against the Bucks?
Yeah. Game one against the Bucks, man. It's game one for me.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Game one was Kyle Lowry being outplayed by Dellavedova.
Dude, game one, I wanted to, like, quit watching basketball forever. I'm like, how are they shit again?
Bro, I was so sad about that game because I went to Raptor Square on Jurassic Park, right? Halfway through that game, the Leafs fans came over and started chanting, you know, like, go Leafs go over the Raptors. Like, let's not talk about, like, cohesion, all right? Like, and then, obviously, the game was terrible. They lost. There's a lot of great dunks in that game. DeMar had a great dunk. Like, Ibaka had some great dunks. Giannis, like, and murdered. Giannis like sized up DeMar Carroll. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna have no problems here. He dunked on DeMar like 8 times, man.
Oh man.
And then yeah, Lowry being shook. Dellavedova killing him.
You know they're just gonna get shook again this year. Like you just know that's happening.
I already expect it. That's okay. Yeah, that was right. But also game three. Remember, like we got smacked. We got smacked. And there was that, like, heated game tape session the next day, and the Raptors turned it around. They flipped their starting lineup. They put Norm in, and you remember when Norm was great?
Yeah.
That was cool. But also, like, DeMar going 0-for-8 in that game, and then all of HP basketball slander on Twitter. HP's just like, oh, I told you, he was terrible. And then Giannis.
Yeah.
Looking at a stat sheet at the podium, saying he had 8 points, and it was just free throw. And then he looked up, and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was
he was confused. He's like, wow, I can't believe we did that to this guy.
That was upsetting. That was upsetting.
Yeah.
But we won that series, all right? We won that series.
Even though we blew, like, a 40-point lead, yeah.
That was also one of the most depressing moments. Yeah, and then, you know, the whole Cavs series was depressing. Like, LeBron, like, sipped a beer. LeBron spun the ball in his hand when Ibaka was guarding him. Bro, we got Ibaka specifically to stop LeBron. Well, not stop LeBron.
LeBron spun the ball. That was so tight, man. That was...
Yo.
That one hurt.
3 minutes into that... No, 2 minutes into that series. Game one, 2 minutes in. Kyrie gets the steal, throws it off the glass to LeBron in a playoff game. we got demolished in that series. But yeah, I'm still going with game three against the Bucks. You're saying game one against the Bucks. All right. Yeah. Next one from Karan Sharma. Top 5 coaches you wouldn't want to get into a fight with. Casey, top 3.
Yeah, Casey's top 3.
I wouldn't want to fight Stan Van Gundy, I could take him physically, but just like sheerly on the face basis. Have you seen like walruses like fight each other?
Oh my god!
Like all they do is like smash their heads into each other, and like they're like super bloodied at the end, and like obviously the winner gets like to mate and stuff like that. I feel like it'd be like that with Stan. Like, he would just, like body slam you.
You know who I do want to fight?
Yeah.
Steve Kerr. I just kick him in the spine.
No, you just give him the karate chop to the back, and it's over. No, it's over.
Just give him a barber slap, except do it on his spine.
I feel like you could like hit Steve Kerr in any part of his body. He would go with the rigor mortis.
Shatter. Oh man.
I mean, Popovich had army training, but the man is like 70 years old.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still wouldn't try that because, like, I don't know what they teach you in the army, man. Or like, he wasn't even army. He was like, what, Secret Service or some shit.
Yeah, Tyron Lue.
What about Tyron Lue?
I don't want to fight Tyron Lue.
What? All you have to do is get a fish hook and you just get him in the lip and it's over.
Oh my god.
Looks like a catfish.
Just throw some bait at him. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, man. Or use a grass type move because he's a Whiskash. Four times effective. I don't know, man. The NBA coaches are not that imposing as a whole. Jay Triano, you could smack Jay Triano.
Yeah, Jay Triano looks like a science teacher.
He 100% is a science teacher.
Yeah.
Nate
McMillan looks like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, come on, Nate. He wouldn't even fight you. He would just like, he would just punch himself and like end the fight.
He'd be like, I don't want to go through this.
Yeah.
Yo, Seriously, Alvin there's just Gentry? Not a lot of... Alvin Gentry seems like a tough guy.
Yeah.
I would love to fight Fred Hoiberg.
Oh my god. All you gotta do is tie the top button on Fred Hoiberg's shirt and it's over. Yo, Brad Stevens. Oh man, I would love to smack Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. Mm.
Brad.
Oh, I would love to punch Brad Stevens.
Yo, seriously. Brad Stevens would just look at you with the big eyes like, no, don't do it. I would clock.
Yo, I don't want to fight Mike D'Antoni.
What? You're scared of the Pringles man?
I feel like he's been through some shit.
Okay.
I feel like he's seen some shit, man.
Yeah, he saw Kobe and Dwight fight each other.
That's what I mean, man. Like, once you go through that, you change, man.
I'm just going to look up a current list of NBA head coaches and go down. Oh, Rick Carlisle. I'm not fighting Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, that guy's a crazy person.
That guy's going to do something to you. Steve Clifford. You got heart issues. Don't fight, please.
Steve.
Kenny Atkinson is literally just all wrinkles. Like, I don't know how, you, as a 40-year-old man, you have that many wrinkles.
Dude, it's because he's white.
Okay, but, yo, look at his face, man. It's like, it looks like when you cut open a brain. Like, it's
yo,
just
I
wrinkles
don't,
everywhere.
I don't want to fight Mike Malone.
Mike Malone? Okay, yeah, I agree with you. He's also in the Rick Carlisle camp, for sure. Yeah. Doc Rivers.
Quinn Snyder seems like a crazy person.
Oh, yeah. No. Quinn Snyder is biting you. 100%. He's biting you.
And I'll finish my top five with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna give the edge there to Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks is like a legit fighter.
Is he?
Yeah, when he was playing and during his playing career and stuff, he was scrappy. He was ready to fight, so.
So was Doc Rivers. There's like documented video of him fighting people.
Yeah, whatever. It's Doc Rivers, man. All you gotta do is just like tell him Austin Rivers like needs $5. He's leaving.
Yo, how did Scott Brooks have a 10-year NBA career? Look at him.
Yo, listen. These are always the guys that become coaches too. Like the privilege doesn't just end when your playing career is over. They're like, wow, you succeeded despite literally no skills. We better hire you as a coach.
Scott Brooks was an NBA player. That's crazy.
Yeah. Billy Donovan. Right. I smacked the shit out of Billy Donovan. I smacked him and his widow's peak. Yo, his widow's peak is... It's nasty.
Yo.
He's smelling it. Like, his widow's peak says M. Like, a big M. On
yo,
his
he's Majin. He's Majin.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Majin Donovan.
Look. If you guys are upset about the banter... We gave you like 50 minutes of serious NBA analysis, all right?
Yeah.
Gotta give us space. Listen to the Vita Pod.
Let us breathe, though. Let us breathe.
Yeah. All right, next one. Josh asks, how long until we talk about a Magic Johnson-style contract for OG and Anobi? Like forever? I don't want to see OG in another jersey. I'll say that much. I'm ready to say it, man. OG has to be a lifer. A lifelong Raptor. We have no good small forwards ever, so he has to be here.
OG's amazing. I love OG.
him dunking on the Hawks, and then Bud, oh my God, Mike Budenholzer, I want to slap the shit out of Mike Budenholzer, man. I wish Dwayne Casey went over there and punched him.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey looks so lovable swearing at him.
Yo, Mike Budenholzer looks like, he honestly, man, his whole face is just, it looks like Eggs Benedict, man. He's just like spilling everywhere, you know, I don't know.
It's not great.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was great. OG had a lot of great dunks in that game. It's very encouraging for his confidence, like physically.
Yeah.
For him to do some of those dunks. Like, he threw it in reverse with two hands and double clutched it.
Yeah, OG needs to stay forever.
Yeah. Already, it's already time to sign him forever, all right?
Yeah.
Masai, you know what to do. You're not letting one of your Nigerian sons walk.
No way.
There's no way. OG lives with Masai, right? Please tell me that's something. Masai, drives him to work and stuff.
Oh, man.
All right. Next one from Bob Makowitz. When is Norm going to be Norm again, or is he norming now? That's a good question, and that's hard to answer.
I think he'll be better now that DeLon's back.
How so?
I just think the one of the main problems he has is that they were asking him to be the secondary creator, and that's just not what he's meant to be. And I get that they staggered starting lineups a little bit more so that, you know, he'd be playing alongside Lowry and Fred VanVleet or whatever. But I think the best case for him is to just keep coming off the bench, be the third option instead of the second. And I don't know. I just feel like just pick your spots better, dude. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like, just he's had stretches where he's been, like, a really, really effective player. He's had legit playoff moments. So, I can't accept that this is just who he is now.
Yeah, me neither. He's clearly in his own head. We've seen him play way better than this. I think he's just like, it looks like from a game-to-game basis, he's unclear as to what his role is.
Yeah.
I think it would help if he sort of got clarity on that.
But yeah, he's spoken about that in the past too, right? Like where... He's talked about how hard it is for him to not know whether he's going to play any given time. And, like, he always says, like, yeah, my job is just to be ready or whatever. Like, he generally goes with that angle. But I don't know. I imagine it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we can only hope for the best, really. Only hope for the best. But we know he's way better than this. All right, next one from Shaba. Ranks. What will change the Raptors' perception in the league? Is it a championship? Eastern Conference championship? Because it seems having 50 wins and two perennial All-Stars, we still don't get respect.
Just don't shit the bed in the playoffs, man.
That's it.
Just look semi-respectable and don't play with, like, dog shit offense in the playoffs and people will start to take notice.
Yeah, like, that's pretty much
the biggest... The biggest problem that they have right now is that everybody dreads watching the Raptors. They're like, oh, God, the Raptors are on. Because they know what's going to come. They know it's just going to be like a steady diet of long twos and foul baiting and shit like that. So, you know, try not being absolute shit and people will notice.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's you know what it is? At this point, it's hard if you're a writer to talk about the Raptors. Like, if you're a national writer, because, like, it's way easier to slander the Raptors based on what's happened in the last 4 years in the playoffs than it is to, like, say, you know what, this is a good team. This is what, you know, like, they can make it or whatever. Because, like, you can't stick a neck out for this team, man. Like, they will not let you down necessarily, but, like, it's more likely they'll let you down in the playoffs than they will rise to the expectations and the levels that they set for themselves in the regular season.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay, two more questions, all right? Well, no, just one more question. This is one of these I don't really understand. Lincoln's Head Top asks, who on the team most resembles a Brampton man and a Saga man?
Oh, wow.
Harsh. They must have known you were coming on.
Yo.
I didn't even say it was you. I just said.
Just admit, this is why you invited me.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Oh, shout out to Lincoln's Head Top. Holy underscore cockroach. Yo, I think he listens to the Feedapod.
Yo, I gotta look at the Raptors roster real quick. This is tough. I feel like Bruno's kind of been like just evolving into a Saga Man.
No,
like,
Bruno's played so long in that he's just a Saga Man.
That's what I'm saying. He's just like full time Saga Man.
Yo, Bruno. Yo, listen. Bruno has a presser card. Okay.
Yo, Bruno is at Mississauga Square One terminal right now, stealing bus tickets from someone, like as we speak.
We know what Bruno's been up to in Mississauga, all right?
Yeah.
Shout out
to Gordon Graydon High School.
Yo, deeply embedded within the Mississauga community, all right?
Yeah.
Bruno Caboclo. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Look, Bruno looks like he goes to Gordon Graydon High School.
He's probably eating at Red Lotus Restaurant.
Oh my god.
Shout out to Red Lotus Restaurant or in Chinese Manjianghong, okay?
Oh, it's easy. Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet is a Brampton man.
Wow. That's an insult.
No, it's true. Fred VanVleet is a Brampton man. The beard,
mm-hmm.
the fade, the hair well taken care of.
Yeah.
That's Fred VanVleet.
He drives a minivan.
You know, he has a souped up Honda Accord. On his minimum wage salary. This is Fred VanVleet, bro. It's Fred VanVleet.
I was going to throw in Pascal Siakam, you know?
Yo, respect Pascal, man.
There's a lot, yeah. I feel like all the players on the roster, Siakam is the most, like, you know, just honestly the closest to, like, immigrant, like, behavior. And that's not a good or bad thing. He's a fobby dude.
He's a Scarborough man? For sure.
Yeah, possible.
Pascal's a Scarborough man. Man's at Malvern Town Center. Shout out to Scarborough.
We should just give a borough to each of these players. CJ Miles is a Tobico. I'm sorry.
CJ Miles just wants to raise his family, man.
Yeah, exactly. He's a Tobico. DeLon Wright is like North York.
Jakob is Richmond Hill.
Yeah, that's true. Bebe is not from here. Baby's not from here.
Baby's just visiting.
Baby. He's on vacation, bro. He's not integrated to any of this. Ibaka definitely lives downtown. He's downtown.
Ibaka and Jonas both live downtown.
Yeah. Jonas could be like Vaughn. You know? I'm sorry, Harsh. That's a neighborhood you're moving into. There's going to be a lot of Jonas.
Respect my neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right. It's run by Redacted. OG? I don't really know where to put OG right now.
Malcolm Miller is from Rexdale.
He's definitely from Rexdale. He's going to Woodbine Mall.
Oh, yo, your non-Canadian, all your non-Toronto listeners are so pissed right now.
Nah, Toronto, honestly, everyone from Toronto just wants to hear slander of the boroughs. That's it.
Yeah.
OG's.
Oh man.
OG's tough.
OG is tough.
Yeah. I don't know. Where would you find OG?
Give Lowry and DeRozan to Mississauga.
They have mansions in Mississauga.
Yeah, so they're Saga mans, both of them.
Yeah, for sure. Yo, DeMar
and Bruno.
Yo, but Bruno is like a child, all right?
Yeah.
Mississauga.
Yeah.
Like, DeMar and Kyle are like adults that have
they're
families.
Like his dads. They're his dads.
Yeah, but they're not paying attention to him.
They're neglectful fathers, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's only when it comes to Bruno.
Only when it comes to Bruno. They're a great family otherwise, but Bruno is a lost cause. Man, where's OG from? This is tough. He's gotta be from somewhere. He's just like, he's kinda too cool to be from any of these places, I'm not gonna lie. Like, what's
OG
coolest part of Toronto?
Vibes, not gonna lie.
What?
OG has some Brampton vibes.
Wow, come on, man.
Yeah, the man's from Harold Brathwaite Secondary.
Okay. I don't even know where that is.
Yo, just leave the Brampton-ness to me, bro. I got you covered.
Okay.
Peel Region is what I stand for. Lorenzo Brown is from Milton.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He, like, he's careful, he's studious. Like, he didn't even take a shot for a long time.
Exactly.
He's got 0.5 points per game. He's definitely from Milton.
He's from Milton.
Yeah, Rex McKinney is from Ajax. Rex Kalamius.
Yes. McKinney is from Ajax for sure. Rex Kalamian is from Guelph.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Son is, you know, definitely Jim from one of these small towns, man.
Get out of here, man.
He's from Muskoka. Like, no, Jim Son's from Barrie. He's the definition of a Barrie person.
Jim Son, man. Come on.
Who are these assistants, man?
Damn. Shout out to Patrick Mutombo. Mutombo's from Montreal.
Oh, easily. Easily. He definitely speaks French.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse is, you know, Burlington. He rides the GO train every day.
Dude, nobody wants this content right now.
Jama's a Scarborough man. 100%. Through and through, Jama.
Isn't Jama actually from Vancouver or something?
No, he's actually from Scarborough. I don't care. He's from Scarborough.
Yeah.
All right. And Dwayne Casey, we know he lives around St. Clair.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just facts. If you want to find Dwayne Casey.
He's from Halifax.
I mean, isn't he actually from BC?
No, he's fucking Scottish, man.
Oh, true. All right. Yeah. Maritimer. There you go. All right. That concludes this podcast. A very thorough analysis of the Raptors in the first half and then banter in the second half. You know, honestly, at this point, you know what happens when Harsh comes on the pod.
Yeah. If you hit play, you know what you were getting into.
Exactly. All right. So, Harsh, thank you for doing this. Where can people find you and your tweets?
Find me at I am Harsh Dave, Harsh Dave,
wow.
I guess.
Wow. I'm Harsh Dave.
Making it easier for people.
That's true.
At I am Harsh Dave. And follow our podcast. Will and I have a podcast called The Defeated. Follow us at The Defeated Pod.
Along with
we'll have like a 2017 year in review, 2018 preview coming up soon. So check that out.
Basically, if you like the second half of the podcast, that's the entire podcast.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. With even less Raptors.
Yeah, far less.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks again to everyone for listening, and Happy New Year.
The in-dash OLED display in the Cadillac Escalade has 38 total diagonal inches of color display. So why do we give it a curve too? I guess you could say we like to bend the rules. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.